just want to share this morning about what baptism is. I want to talk about baptism this morning, something I felt God put on my heart for us. And the title of this message today is Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. Dead to sin and alive in Christ. And if you've got a Bible this morning, I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 11. It's going to be on the screen behind me as well. But it says this in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 11. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. You know, today it is a special service, and we are witnessing this morning one of the most significant steps a person can take in their walk with Jesus. Now, baptism, it isn't just a ritual. It's a powerful declaration of a transformed life. That's what baptism is. When somebody gets baptized, like Alex is going to be baptized this morning, they are saying, my life has changed. I've been changed by Jesus and I'm not turning back. They're saying, I'm dying to my old life without Jesus and I'm being raised to new life and I'm going to live for Jesus. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. That's what baptism is. Now, I want to say from the outset that just because somebody's getting baptized doesn't mean they are saved. Baptism doesn't mean that you are right with God. We are saved when we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to come into our lives and be our Lord and Savior. But once we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, then we take this next step of baptism, where we are declaring that we are now living for Jesus. And you know, when we get baptized, there's two things that happen, two truths that happen when we get baptized. If you've already been baptized, then this will be true for you. If you haven't been baptized, then this is something that happens when we are baptized, when we make that public declaration. I want us to grasp these two realities this morning. First of all, the Bible says that when we are baptized, we are showing to people and we're declaring to God and to all of humanity and all of creation, we're declaring that we are dead to sin. Baptism is a declaration that we are dead to sin. Now, I know if you go to church, you might have heard of that term sin before. That word sin, it actually means missing the mark. That's what sin means. It's basically like an archer who's trying to hit a bullseye but slightly misses the mark. That's what sin is. When we sin, we're missing the mark. You might say, what are we missing the mark of? We're missing the mark of God's glorious, perfect standard. When we sin, we are missing the mark. As I said, we talk about sin quite a bit in church, and I know for some people, that can make them uncomfortable. When we talk of sin, we're talking about the bad things that you and I do, those things that cut us off from God, those things that separate us from God, the things that hurt the heart of our God. Now, we need to understand where sin began and why it matters. I need you to know this morning, the Bible teaches us that sin, it didn't begin with you and it didn't begin with me. The Bible shows us that in the very first pages of the Bible, at the very beginning of creation, that's where sin happened. That's where sin came into being. It happened in the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us that this world wasn't made by coincidence. It wasn't made by chance, but it was created by Almighty God. God spoke and God created this world, the universe, and the galaxies. God spoke and it came into existence. And God created a perfect world, a world without pain, a world without death, a world without hurt, a world without evil. And God created mankind. The Bible says that we have been made in the image of God. Again, you were not created by chance. You were not accident. You're not a mistake. You are created in the image of Almighty God. You were created by Him. And the Bible says that God created mankind in His image. The first humans, Adam and Eve. And He gave Adam and Eve freedom in this place called Eden. This garden, this paradise, this perfect place on earth. And God's intention as He made mankind was for mankind to have a relationship with Him, to have a friendship with Him. The Bible says that Adam and Eve walked with God. They walked with God day by day. They spoke with God. They knew God. They communed with God. They had friendship with God. Everything was perfect. They enjoyed creation with Almighty God. But the Bible says that God gave humanity free will. And the Bible says that humanity were tempted. They were led astray. They were deceived by the enemy of our souls, by Satan, by the devil. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve disobeyed the command of God, the instructions of God not to eat from the fruit of this one tree. But Adam and Eve were tempted. They were led astray and they disobeyed God. And the Bible says that's when sin came into the world. The Bible says that's when their eyes were opened to death. They were aware of this thing. And the moment that they did this, the Bible says that sin entered into the world. Now, sin, as I said, it's missing the mark. Sin is basically saying, God, it's my way, not your way. I want to live for myself rather than for you. That little letter in the middle of the word sin is I. That's the heart of sin. It's all about me, 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 living for me, my pleasures, my wants, my desires. That's what sin is all about. And that's what Adam and Eve decided to do. They said, God, we don't want to do things your way, even though you're the creator of all things. We think we know best, God, so we want to live life our way. So that's what Adam and Eve did. But as a result of that, separation came. Sin separates us from God. Sin cuts us off from God. And ever since that moment, sin is a disease that has infected all of humanity. It cuts each and every one of us off from God. We're born into sin. We're born into brokenness. And I don't have to tell you. All you have to do is turn on your phones. You have to look at the streets, look at our lives, and we feel the effects of sin, the pain, the hurt, the brokenness in our society, in our world, the wars, the hatred, the breakdown in family life. We see the consequences of sin even within our lives. Every one of us sins. Every single one of us. We've all sinned. The Bible says this in Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned. All fall short of God's glorious standard. Me, you, we all have sinned. And there is nothing the Bible says that we can do to make ourselves right with God. It doesn't matter how much you give to charity. It doesn't matter about how many people you help across the road. It doesn't matter how many times you try to be a good person. The Bible says there is nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with the holy God. The Bible says that our good works or our good deeds, they're like filthy rags before a holy God. There's nothing we could do. And you see the struggle as you read through the pages of the Bible in the Old Testament. Mankind, they're right with God one minute and then they mess up. Sin comes in and it ruins it all. We all sin, the Bible says. We all fall short of the glory of God. Sin isn't just about bad behavior. It's not about breaking the rules. Sin is this thing that separates us from God, this spiritual disease that cuts us off from God. It causes us to miss out on the abundant full life that God has for each and every one of us. He created you and me for. And you know, the Bible says that not only have we all sinned, but sin comes with a cost. Sin might look nice. Sin might get dressed up and entices us and it looks good in the moment. But if you've ever sinned, if you've ever made that mistake, you know the pain and the hurt that it causes later on. The guilt, the shame, the damage that it causes not only to ourselves, but how it affects other people around us as well. Sin comes with a cost. You might say, what is the cost of sin? The Bible says this in Romans 6 verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That is what the cost of sin is. Death. Not only death in feeling the effects right here and now, the pain, the hurt, the brokenness right here and right now. Not only the effects of death in our lives right here and right now, but also eternal death. Eternal separation from God in a place called hell. That is what the Bible teaches us. The wages of sin is death. Sin has consequences. Cuts us off from God. Eternal separation from God. Sin, it promises us fulfillment, but it always leaves us empty. Sin, it looks like it's going to bring us freedom, but it always will leave us in chains. That's what happens when we sin. Sin damages our relationship with God, and it damages our own lives, and it damages the lives of those around us. Sin infects every part of our lives. And as I said, there is nothing that you and I could do to fix this problem of sin. There's nothing we could do to fix this problem. But I'm so grateful that in the very beginning of creation, before the foundation of the earth, God knew what would happen in humanity, and he had a plan set in motion. That while we couldn't save ourselves, while we couldn't fix ourselves or restore ourselves, God had a plan to sort the sin problem out. It says this in Romans 6, verse 6, to Samuel. You'll see it on the screen behind me. It says this. It says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. The Bible says, whilst there was nothing you and I could do to fix this problem of sin, God himself fixed the problem. He stepped in and paid the price for your sin, my sin, and the sin of the world. The most famous Bible verse of all, whether you've been to church before, if this is your first time, I'm sure you've heard this Bible verse, John 3:16. For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him, believes in his death on the cross, believes in his resurrection, believe that he, Jesus, bore our sin, paid the price for sin, whoever believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the weight of every sin, of every person, every mistake, every regret. He bore it all. Why? Because of his love for us. So that you and I could be reconciled to him. So that we could have a relationship with him right here and right now in 2024. So we can know his life, his love, his goodness in our lives right here and right now. But also so that we could be reconciled and spend eternity in heaven with him. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. By believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Accepting him as Lord and Savior. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. But the wonderful news of the Bible is that didn't end in defeat. 3 days later, Jesus rose again. Defeating death, defeating sin, defeating Satan. He broke the power of sin over your life, my life, and over this world. He paid the price for it. He broke the power of it once and for all when he rose again from the dead. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, baptism, it shows this sign that what Alex is doing today, it's a sign saying that my old sinful life has been dead, is dead. Jesus paid the price for my sin. It is dead and gone. And when we put Alex under the water, it's a symbol, a spiritual symbol saying I'm dead to my old life of sin. I'm no longer going to a lost eternity. I've died to that life. And then when we raise him up out of the water, it's a symbol like Jesus rose again from the grave. It's a symbol saying I'm rising to new life in Jesus. I'm living for Jesus. Those chains, that shame, that guilt, that pain, it's all gone. Jesus has paid it all. When we are baptized and when we give our lives to Jesus, we're saying, sin no longer controls me. It doesn't define me. I'm saved by Jesus. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm forgiven. I'm made new. I'm made whole. I have a new start because of what Jesus has done, because of his love for me, because of all that Jesus has done. We're declaring that sin no longer has the final say over us. So baptism is a sign. It's saying that we are dead to a life of sin. We are dead to sin. But secondly, as I come towards a conclusion, not only are we dead to sin, but the Bible says that we are made alive in Christ. We're not just losing something, we are gaining something. Something far greater, something far better. Baptism isn't just about leaving something behind, my own way of life, or doing the things that I used to do. It's not about that. It's about stepping into something new, something far greater. Stepping into the life that God originally called me for, a life with him, knowing him, knowing his blessing, knowing his goodness, knowing his help, knowing his strength, knowing his presence in those times I feel alone, knowing his help, knowing his goodness in my life. We're stepping into something brand new. Romans 6 verse 4 says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. It's a new life in Jesus, something far better than this world could offer, than any relationship could offer. It is a relationship, a friendship with the one true living God. When we are baptized, it's not just saying no to sin, it's saying yes to Jesus. I'm living for him, to know him, to walk with him. As Alex is raised up out of the water in a few moments' time, just like Jesus was resurrected, it's an image of brand new life. Life in Jesus. You know, I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. This is the picture this morning for us who've given our lives to Jesus and the picture of baptism. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has come. This isn't about becoming a better version of yourself. It's not about patching your old self up. This is a new creation. I'm new because of what Jesus has done. New identity. I have a calling. I have a life because of Jesus. I have a fresh start because of what Jesus has done. It's total transformation. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't patch up. He brings total transformation in our lives. Abundant life. New life. We're alive in Jesus. It says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, my old life has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. It's at work in us. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is working in us to make us more like Jesus, changing us, giving us new desires, showing us his plan and his purpose for our lives, why we are on earth. He is showing all these things in our lives. This new life, it gives us hope. It means we're alive to something far bigger than ourselves. We're not just struggling through life. We have a new life because of Jesus. And you might say, as I come to a conclusion, you might say, how can I know this life? First of all, it's by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by receiving him. There's no other way to heaven, no other way to eternal life, no other way to patch yourself up but by accepting Jesus. It's by believing in him, his love, receiving what he has done, the gift of salvation for you and me. And then it's about living in that life, daily walking with Jesus. You might say, how can I walk with Jesus? Every day. Spend time reading the Bible. You'll get to know God. You'll find out why you were created. You know his plan and his purpose in your life. How can you walk with Jesus? Pray every day. It's a relationship. It's a friendship with God. It's about spending time with God. You know, last night, Georgina and I, we were in the house and we decided that we weren't going to watch TV last night. We said we wanted a bit of quality time with each other. So we pulled out some board games. We went old school. We went 90s. We went back. We pulled out some board games and we started playing with each other, these games with each other. And you know, it was so much fun just being with each other, in each other's presence, talking just about life, talking about future. It was just great having fun together. And that's what God wants with us. a friendship with him. It's not a tradition. It's not a religion that just happens on a Sunday. We can know God every day. We can speak to him. We can be honest with him, share our burdens, share our fears, share our weaknesses. And he's there to forgive, restore, help, guide. It's a live-in relationship with a live-in God. We can pray every day, be filled with the Spirit. Know God's power at work within your life. I want to encourage you, if you want to live for Jesus, be involved in church. If you're not already involved in another church, get planted in this church. The Bible says when we get involved in a church and make a church our home church, that we will flourish in the courts of God. How else can we live for Jesus? By telling other people about Jesus as well. This isn't just a little exclusive club, just for a few people who think they're good. It's for the whosoever. We're not a museum for good people. We're a hospital for broken people. And I know I need Jesus. We all need Jesus within our lives. This is what the church is all about. The family of God. All different people from all different backgrounds, but one thing in common. We're saved by the goodness, the mercy, the grace of Jesus Christ. That's why we're in this together. And we've got to share this good news with the whosoever, with the people in our streets, people in our workplaces. We share this with others. This is how we live for Jesus. And so today, baptism, it's a sign that we're dead to our old lives. Life of sin, dead to sin. Sin no longer has the final say in my life. Jesus is now master of my life. Jesus is Lord of my life. And we are alive to him. Jesus says in John 10:10 that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give life and life more abundantly. That means right here and right now, but also eternal life as well. Baptism is a public declaration saying, I belong to Jesus. It's the world behind me. It's the cross before me. I'm living for Jesus. It says, I'm done with sin. I want to live for him. Something far greater than ever. I want to know his purpose, his love, and his plan for my life. And I just want to end with this verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. He died, that's Jesus, he died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Alex, I want to encourage you today, as you're making this wonderful decision today, we want to encourage you, keep living for Jesus. Keep making Jesus Lord of your life every day. For those of us who don't know Jesus, it's an opportunity you can today. You can know him and accept him as your Savior today. If you do know Jesus, I want to encourage you, keep following after Jesus. Keep living for him. If you haven't taken this step of baptism, I'd encourage you to take this step. We've got some Next Step cards at the back of the church. You can fill one of those out. Come and see myself. Come and see Paul after the service. You can sign up on our website if you'd like. We'd love for you to take this next step. This is a command of Jesus. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then you should be baptized. It's a public declaration. And then you watch how God will move in your life. The blessings he will bring, the help, the strength he will bring, the life that he will bring to you. We are dead to sin, but now we're alive in Christ.